this is Ashley Sharp Chestnut, and I'm on Sci-Fi Sisters.
Everybody, welcome to the Sci-Fi Sisters podcast, where we give you our point of view. I'm Tamia Harper, and I'm joined today by my sisters, Yvette Blackman-Tom.
Hello.
Sabrina Wood.
Whoop whoop.
And Fran T.
What's happening?
What's happening, Fran? What's happening is that we got a great guest again for you today, and we're really, really excited that she's here. We've tried to get her for a long time, and we're super stoked. You know her. She's a wonderful actress, but you know her Trekkies from season 3 of Picard, playing Sydney LaForge, Geordi LaForge's daughter. We're so delighted to welcome Ashley Sharp Chestnut to the show. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Like I said, we're so excited that you're here. We wanted to get you on the show for a long time because when we saw you, we couldn't take our eyes off you. Like, I mean, the first time we met your character, we were like, who's that? And she's awesome. And please, can we have a lot more of her, right? Like, right,
yes.
Guys?
Yeah, right. Definitely. Right. Big smiles.
Yeah, like I was afraid that we were just going to see you for a second and, you right. know, and then like they were going to find some way to not have you as a prominent character. And I was like, oh no.
You know, killer. She's dead.
Right.
That's what I thought. But nope, every single episode.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people thought that my character by the end would probably be dead. So they kept me. Yeah.
Yes. We're just so happy. We're like, she's black and she's not dead.
She made it through.
That's wonderful. Especially on Picard.
Right? And we didn't have to infect anymore. Right? Because Picard didn't have a good track record with us.
The first person they killed was a black man.
First one.
In season 1.
First episode.
First episode.
He was like there for like 3 minutes. And they were like, oh, gotta go.
He's gonna put a knife in you.
Okay, so... Yeah, we could. That's a tangent that we could go on for a long time.
Yeah, we're going to leave that alone.
Yeah, we're going to stop.
That's a whole nother show. The fact of the matter is they got it right with you, and we're so happy. And you know, we're happy not only... we're happy on a couple of fronts because number one, we're happy that Geordi LaForge has a family. And number two, we're happy that you are the person playing his daughter because you just bring so much to the screen for us. But before we get into all the screen stuff, I want to go back to childhood because I know I've seen you on other interviews and you've talked about your mom being a Trekkie.
Oh, God,
And being raised with, you know, in Trek. I mean, your mom was a Trekkie, but were you a Trekkie too? Or was it just like, oh, I kind of know this because it's around?
I kind of knew of the world. I wasn't as invested as she was, but like I knew of lingo. I knew of terminology. Like I wasn't completely blind coming into this. But I mean, I've seen a couple episodes before I even started shooting this. Like I knew... of, you know, the universe. I wasn't as deep as into it as she was.
So but the crazy part is that you chose Geordi LaForge as your icon, right?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I was low-key obsessed with LeVar Burton just from reading Rainbow too.
And, but
I mean, everybody knows of, you know, Geordi. So I feel like I just love the picture. I loved of the like the Star Trek world anyway, and I just felt like I don't know. I just wanted the profile picture. And then I guess by default, you know, seeing Instagram, opening up the app every day, you're like low key manifesting, you know, ingraining it into like your subconscious. And so I've started to like do a little bit more things like around my house. I'm like, let me just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what's up.
There. Yep.
Right? Exactly.
Put it out into the universe.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Did you know which role you were going for when you went to read, when you auditioned?
No, absolutely not. I only knew, I mean, in my head, I figured it had to only be, you know, either Geordi or like Michael Dorn's, you know, Worf's character.
Right. But,
yeah, no, I didn't know until maybe a week or two before shooting. Yeah.
That's so cool. Did your mom freak out?
Oh God. Yeah. She was in the room with me when I got the call. So it was more surreal. Cause I just moved to LA. She was helping me move in. We were in her hotel room and she was like laying on the bed. Sorry. They're like sirens. And, I get a call from my agent. They're like, I put it on speaker and they were like, Ashley, of course you booked Star Trek, but not only are you going to, you know, be on the show, you're going to be playing Geordi LaForge's daughter. And my mom just went crazy. She's like, her mouth, trying not to like lose it. It was the cutest thing ever. But yeah, it was.
That's so cute.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Geordi's special to us. You know, we've done, LeVar Burton is special to us.
Yes.
But, I mean, for just all in his own right. But Geordi, as a character for us Trekkies that have been around a while, you know, he's so dear. He's so special. We've talked about it. We had a whole show dedicated to LeVar Burton and Geordi, and you know, we talked about like the misadventures, Geordi's love misadventures, right? And you know, how it was on one hand, like they really didn't give him a lot of positive relationships that we could see with Geordi on screen, you know. And you know, he was really bereft, you know, his only, and then his mom. You know, his mom was a Starfleet captain, but we never met her because what, guys?
She was dead when we met her.
She's dead. You know, and so he never had much family. You know, that the Enterprise crew was his family. But I love seeing this relationship now with him, like this iteration of Geordi with this blood family, and especially a black family. You know, even though we didn't get to meet mom, I would have loved to have met, you know, Sydney LaForge's mother. But we saw Geordi with his daughters, and we finally got to see a positive black family relationship on there. Did that weigh on you at all while you were preparing for this role?
I think so, in a way. I mean, if you're talking about black representation specifically, for sure. I mean, you know, the stereotype that black fathers aren't really present in their kids' lives, and the fact that you have this prominent black character who, you know, is like a force in, you know, this world and has a high ranking position and holds a lot of power. I mean, it goes to like the whole like Nepo baby thing, you know, it's like, Forge is kind of, I mean, nepotism, but like in a good way, you know, so, this family dynamic, it's really beautiful to see on screen.
It is. The sisters, is. You know, you look at your parents have done something, you look at each other and say, oh my gosh, let me, you know, when you are, she said, well, I'll see what I can do. I'm like, look at the sisters.
Armand, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I love that part too, that they, you know, the sisters had a very positive relationship. There was no, because sometimes they like to, you know, show just, there was no reason for it. There was so much else going on. Let's just see this positive family. You know, Geordi, he was just trying to protect his daughters, which, you know, all fathers do. So I just, I love that fact that they didn't go there with the sisters, because I, you know, it could have been butting heads and, you know, who needed that? You know, there was so much else going on, but the loving relationship between you and Alondra, I think that was her name, right? Alondra, did I get that right? Yeah. Alondra was great. I loved it because you both stuck up for each other, and she definitely had your back. And I just loved seeing that. All that positivity was not lost on this audience. You know, that made a big difference on watching, you know, why we love TNG, but that was really special. That Geordi had a family, and he had two daughters that were competent. You know, they were in Starfleet, and they had, you know, big roles and they had morals and all the stuff that we love about Geordi were in those two characters, which I just totally love that. You know, it made a big difference. I definitely made a difference to me because Geordi has such, you know, he's that guy, you know, he's mm-hmm. that guy that stands up for what's right. And I love that his daughters had that same, those same moral ethics. That was great. Yeah. That was just a thought.
When I remember first seeing you, it was so funny. I know you're going to remember this. When Picard and them came on the bridge, and you were sitting there just a grinning with a beautiful smile and everything. Yeah. And he introduced, and you were still standing there grinning. And he said, he said, well, what's wrong with that? What's up with her? And mm-hmm. they said, oh, LaForge, get to you. He said, LaForge. And then the crash LaForge came up. Yeah. That was so, and the look on your face was like, well, dang, why y'all bring that up? You know, see, I mean, that, you know, you said, well, you know, while I was a cadet, you know, he said two times, and then that's when Picard said, okay, Will, okay.
Right,
okay.
That's enough, right.
Yeah, you know, so I thought that was so cute, you know.
It was really cute.
It was. And it was. You know, brought some humor into some, not laughing at you, but trying to laugh with you. Yeah. You know, there's a difference. Yeah. So thank you for that.
We have that in common because Crash is also my nickname.
Stop it.
It really is.
It's true.
You're crashing cars. Story. What's going on?
No.
It's no better than your backstory of being called Crash, and we're not even going to get into it, but everybody.
Oh, no, you're going to tell.
Well, you brought it up.
Yeah, you did. You're going to tell.
Okay. I'm proud of it. You know, people give you a nickname, you just keep that nickname.
We embrace it.
Wasn't there another
stays in Vegas. That's all I can say.
There was another sci-fi sister present who actually knows that story. So,
but Crash, nice to meet you.
And it involved virtual reality in Vegas.
Wow. See, you said what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I said nothing.
The person who wasn't in Vegas violated that rule.
Yes, mm-hmm, you did. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. But anyway, I just gave a little smidgen.
Yeah, I just wanted
so you
to
have that in common.
I feel really connected to you.
Did you feel a lot of? I mean, obviously, there's pressure coming in playing a role like this. But were there traits of like Geordi that you were trying to embody that, like, you know, that his daughter might have inherited from him that you were bringing, or were you approaching the role like, no, she's her own woman in every way?
A little bit. I vacillated between both of them because I felt like she was trying to make a name for her own self, because she already had the LaForge name attached to her. Right. And I mean, everybody already knows, like, oh, this is your dad. So you kind of want to differentiate yourself in a way. And so I felt like I really wanted her to create her own isms, if you will. But granted, I mean, there's like the hand holding thing. I mean, Mika talked about it in an interview as well about the holding of our hand specifically. So at one point, or maybe like a couple of times, I do that. But this part, you know, it was very like Sydney's own mannerisms and things.
She felt very much like her own woman. And I think that so many of us, like, either, I mean, I fell in love with her character because I wanted to be her. Mm-hmm. You know, but at the same time, I could also identify with her. Like, she wasn't so far out of reach. You know, she was very human, and especially these interpersonal relationships between moms, I mean, you know, between parents and kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just felt so real to me. And parents wanting us to, parents trying to protect us, you know, or wanting us to follow in their own footsteps all the time. I mean, that's super real to me. Right. You know, my mother is so ecstatic that I'm actually working for her now. Like, I mean, like, it's been, you know, but I mean, it's a struggle, you know, them having the ideas and hopes and dreams that they have for us versus our own goals in life and carving out our own identities. And I felt her struggle with that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough on the other side. And we always talk about this, how, you know, I'm the mother of adult children. So I get that. I totally got everything that I was definitely on Jordy's the whole time.
You were like, on Jordy's side?
Hell yeah, she I was on Jordy's side.
She was.
I was like, how the hell is he? I'm like, these people have got this child out there. They should know better. how else was he supposed to react? Honestly.
I mean, I hear it. But she's a grown woman. She's making her own decisions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It takes a minute. It, believe me, grown children are hard. They're very hard because, you know, these were the children you raised.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got to say, okay, I'm just going to step back. Yeah, that's not an easy thing. So I got Jordy, what he was going through, because I could feel that, you know. Yeah, I definitely was on Jordy's side.
Even though Jordy put his parents through the same thing. You know,
what's that?
Jordy had two Starfleet parents, and he went in, you know, this child that had a disability on top of it all. How was they going to, you know, they were like, oh my God, is he going to make it? Is he going to make friends? What's going to happen? And he still became the daddy and was just giving you a way to go. My goodness.
The sight impaired pilot.
Yeah.
When he first came on, because he wasn't the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jordy's is a big deal. I know. I think I'm kind of rushing ahead, but Shaw and Jordy, the interaction when he first met him, and he was fangirling, and you know, the captain was fangirling Jordy LaForge because you know he's this legendary engineer, and I love that part because you know Shaw is, you know, I'm the captain, and you know, and you know, no, you know. But he couldn't, you know, he was like, oh, you know, slipping all over his words and everything. But look at Shaw. Not but the I say no, Shaw. All bereft and all that, can't say nothing, fangirling because it's Jordy LaForge. I love that part.
I did too. I love it. In a bunk, but Jordy came on.
He sure did.
He did. Didn't he put Picard
and Riker in a bunk bed.
But he revered Jordy LaForge.
He was an engineer.
And Jordy has this, you know, reputation. He was on a flagship, and now he's a Commodore, and he's on my ship.
Yep. It's a beautiful moment, yeah, for sure.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. And because Seven and Riker looked at each other when he was standing. Was it Seven was looking at somebody like, "Oh, this is out of character for him."
Yeah, for sure. Because it's all the time. I mean, he was being a jerk, you know. And then finally, Jordy, and it's like, and it's like, oh, he's human. Okay, got it.
Yeah, he is.
Feelings,
not just the dip thing from Chicago, as he called himself.
Yeah,
you know.
Sorry, go ahead, Fran.
No.
Okay.
I was just saying, so ...
I wanted to ask you about that fight scene that you had.
Oh,
at Spillier, because I saw this one interview, and somebody had asked you about like your dancing and your dance training and how that might have played, because it made me think of Michelle Yeoh, because we know that she started as a dancer too, and I was like, can we have a black Michelle Yeoh? But was it fun for you to do that? I mean, how did it work for you?
It was so much fun. I mean, it was my first time like doing stunt work and having rehearsals for that fight sequence. I mean, there were a couple other fight sequences that we had that got cut out, but I've talked about this before, but it's really interesting being able to do that while filming, because there's so many like action cuts in between. So it's like you have to get yourself like riled up to do the choreography again as if you're doing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I had another level of respect for like our stunt performers, like my stunt double, seeing it like so many people. I didn't know that's what went into like these stunts and fight rehearsals and things like that. Yeah.
You want to do it again?
Of course. Are you kidding? You know, perhaps.
Okay, that'd be great. Ooh, nice. Yeah, I would like that. Yes.
Well, you're home, like before you're also a stage actress, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And You know, so we keep thinking, we ask this all the time to people, and I hate asking it, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's still interesting to us. You know, the difference between stage and TV, and especially now that TV is made more like a movie, you know, where is your comfort level? Or are you just like totally open and like enjoying it all? Or, you know, I mean, is theater your heart?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think because I started off with theater, I got my break doing Broadway. So I think theater's always going to be a part of me. I'd love to go back to Broadway. But I'm definitely enjoying this television ride. I'm not going to lie. I think, I mean, not to be, the money's great in TV. I'm not going to lie, but like, they just offer me two different things that I just really love. I think, Broadway specific or even off Broadway, any type of theater, you're able to like feed off of the audience and the energy and everything. Not to say that you don't have that with television and film, like your crew is technically like your audience, but it's nice to actually have people who like pay to watch your stuff. They're sitting there trying to enjoy it. You know, it's just a different energy. But I love both.
Speaking of Broadway, I have a question. My sister knows what it is. Have you ever been on Law and Order?
No, I haven't. I auditioned for Law and Order so many times, never booked it.
Really?
Never booked it, yeah.
What's wrong with you, Law and Order people?
Right?
What's the deal?
I swear to God, you were on our screens for like less than 5 minutes, and we were like, we love her.
What is that about?
Can we keep her?
It was love at first sight. That's crazy that you said that. It was love, because we were like, who's that? You know? Who's that black woman sitting at the helm?
Yeah,
bridge.
Right. Yes.
Right. Come on. The minute you're at the helm, we're like,
And not a background bridge person, a foreground, literally and figuratively.
That's
right.
Be in the shot all the time.
Like, were you hip? Sense? Were you hip to that? Like the importance of that, like, I mean, like, yes, like, I get it. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to say that in a patronizing way, because I just realized as I was saying that sounded really stupid, but like, but just how Trekkies, like, for us in our lore, to have a black person in that position, you know, I don't know, like, were you hip to like how big that might be for us?
Absolutely. I think definitely being on the bridge in general, but definitely being up front. I mean, especially piloting the ship, that's a big deal. I mean, as my mom told me, it was definitely so I think, you know, going in and then also just always knowing, like, even when we were shooting, always seeing the cameras, it's like, oh, I'm literally in almost every shot, like in some way. It definitely was a huge deal.
I thought about Nichelle. When I was watching the position you were in, because Nichelle was always in the background. She always was in the shot with Kirk because she was right behind him. And that's just what I was thinking of when, you know, when you were on the bridge, you were always in the shot. And I was like, I'm loving this. Mm-hmm. It's just seeing you makes such a big difference. And to have a really good meaty role that also, you know, you can have they did that before. I remember watching TNG when it first came on. And I don't know if you guys remember, Ensign Raker came on and she was the first. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal because it was the first time a black woman was piloting the ship, and she didn't really have any words. She would say, yes, captain. You know, that's pretty much it. But she was just there. But this time you weren't just there. You had an important part. You came in important because the last name was LaForge, and we knew, you know, that you meant something. You're part of canon. I mean, because they talked about you in All Good Things. Your name was already mentioned. Mm-hmm. That Jordy had these two daughters already. So you've been in canon before you probably was born.
That's true.
Yeah, but I was just thinking of all of that and how this all means. I mean, I really wanted you on this show, as you can tell.
And I'm sorry.
No, I just thought it was very important that we talk to you. That's all.
Yeah. and the fact that you can actually act.
Yes.
Yes, thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. That was key, too.
That was key. Yes, she can actually act.
Both daughters, you know, both daughters on there were up there acting y'all's butts off. You know? Like, go ahead now, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
Sabrina, you were about to say something.
Oh, no. I was just saying that it was such a great feeling to see you there, like they said. Because, you know, Jordy had that position too. And it was just so great when they said your name. And you, I mean, I know we're saying it over and over and over, but it was the best thing for me watching Picard. I loved everybody coming back and all that stuff. But what I really did love was, like you were saying, the intact family that Jordy had. And we did see this, a taste of it from All Good Things, you know, when they projected it into the future. And we read the books, and to see you come to life was really great. And it was especially great to watch this intact family, you know that his family was still together, because the drama was all about this other family that was in total disarray. They didn't even know he had a child, you know, everything was all crazy. And see what happens when that happens. But to watch Jordy, who we've like loved for so long, and you know, we've got Jordy Bears all over here. it was just a really big thing, and we'd just love to have you on the show. I have a question for you. Did you know they were going to ship you in this show? Did you know that when this show started that they were going to try to make something happen between you and first Picard?
No, I didn't know. No, I had no idea. Not until I finally read the script. No, didn't know.
Okay. I was like, "Oh, what's going on here?"
I liked it though. I was not
some
mad
chemistry
at it.
There.
I was not.
There
mad
was some
at
chemistry
it.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, I had no idea, because initially I only thought that I was going to be in like 2 to 3 episodes max.
Oh wow!
I didn't know that I'd be in all 10. Mm-hmm. And so they would release the scripts obviously cryptically, so nothing was like leaked. But yeah, no, I didn't know. Yeah, until that came up into the script, and I was like, "Oh, interesting." Yeah, no,
but that's what good. That means you'll stay around.
Yeah.
If you've got a relationship with the key character, that means you're coming back for whatever they bring up. I would love
a possible spinoff. I'm going to say it again.
Possible.
Look,
CBS, please.
Yes, right.
Now CBS, right. Like y'all better read the tea leaves, baby, because all of us are like. I mean, all of us want this spinoff. All of us. Like, yes, I don't think there's a single person out there who watched season 3 wasn't like, I need to see these characters again. I mean, for us particularly, though, it was you. I'm like, honestly, I don't care if I see Picard's son again. I like him and everything. He's cool.
Stop
but
it.
He's
no.
nice. He's cool. He's cool.
You have no idea.
I have a relationship.
I love
well, that's fine. You can have a relationship.
He can
make
exist.
Sure you're there. He can be there.
He can be there too.
You're there.
But our goal is to make sure that you were there. You know, and I mean, we like him too. Don't get us wrong. Yeah. He's adorable. And I like his character. And it's so complex. And it's really cool. But our focus would be like, we need Sidney LaForge back, you know? And we need you as Sidney LaForge back, you know, because that's what we want to tell Paramount. So if you're listening, Paramount,
and we know you are.
You are. We better be seeing more Sidney LaForge back on that bridge.
Well, when you saw the positional dynamics, and 7 of 9 was the first officer of this ship. I'm thinking in my head, she's the first officer of this ship. The captain's going to get it. This was in my head from the beginning, guys. Mm. She's the first officer. Something's going to happen to her, because 7 of 9 is really, really she's a fantastic character. And she's wildly popular with the Trekkies. Mm-hmm. And I think her being, you know, with the first officer and then him gone, I think there's something up. I really do. I really think there's something up. And I think there's going to be a spinoff. I really do. I don't think they just put her up there for nothing. I don't.
Yeah.
So, but that's me. That's me in my head. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not CBS or Paramount or whatever. But 7 of 9, first officer. Yeah, the Titan. Yeah.
It adds up. I mean,
it does. That's my point. It adds up to spinoff.
I want to spin off as long as all the characters are back.
Yeah, yes, with all the characters, because you all were great. All the characters were great.
I was
sad when they killed off Naveen. What was her
name? Oh, Naveen.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I was like, oh man, Baldy, no. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Are you going to cry?
Don't cry.
No, I'm not going to cry.
Okay,
thanks. It's not cry worth.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. It's not crap. Y'all don't know this, but my daughter, I have adult children, and she calls me crybaby sometimes. Because I'm really, really sensitive.
I'm shocked.
I'm really sensitive. And, you know, I want to see Sydney again.
Wow. That's the only reason we're having this show is so that we can say that like multiple times.
Over and over again.
Thank you for being here. We're going to keep saying it. Okay. So I do have questions about you being like a young Black actress, you know, in this world today, like what, it's hard to narrow this down. Okay. In your experience, how has it been for you trying to get substantive roles? Are you seeing people pitching roles to you that are just typical? Or are you seeing a difference in the types of roles that are coming? And I wonder that, and I ask that because there's a generation gap, you know, between us and you. Like when we're coming up, we're really used to talking to people who are older, and it's like, okay, you're a hooker, you're a gangbanger, you're a drug addict, you know, like very stereotypical roles. But I'm wondering what it's like now.
Yeah, sure. I think it's both. There are certain things that cross my path that I do pass on, that I just don't feel that those roles are in alignment with the, not only the career that I'm cultivating for myself, but the career that I want to push forward and represent. I will say the other roles that I do get, like this one, you know, that does project the Black community in a beautiful light. I do say yes to those. I do audition for those. I don't always book them, but I'm just glad that those stories are being told. And it provides an outlook or perspective for like even kids nowadays growing up, and they can see themselves in a positive light. It isn't stereotypical. Because I know, like growing up for me, like I remember seeing like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like the Cosby Show, you know, these beautiful images of Black families and Black people that aren't stereotypical. So that's really my goal, and like to really just continue to shine a light on Black people and beautiful, and I keep saying beautiful, but like in a beautiful light. I mean that's just like my goal.
Yeah. See, that's why we love you, because that's our goal too.
Because you know, and I'm going to interject this, and then when TNG first came on, for me the most popular person on the whole cast was LeVar Burton, and from Roots for me, because I saw that when it first came on, those 5 nights that week. Oh, LeVar Burton, he's going to be on Star Trek. Yep. That's what I gravitated to, LeVar Burton, Roots, because that was a phenomenal, iconic role that he created. I mean, well, he acted in, somebody else created it, but you know, LeVar Burton, you know, and I don't remember any of the other people. I don't. I mean, is when they announced the cast, LeVar Burton was it for me, and I knew I was going to watch it. So,
well, him and Will Wheaton were the stars.
Will, Will Wheaton. Stand By Me. Was he in Stand By Me? Right, right.
They were the ones that were known.
Yeah,
everybody.
They were known. Sorry, Will. So, we love you, Will. But, you know, Will Wheaton too.
I just think it's really beautiful that you are, you know, in, like you said, intentionally crafting this career in this way. I think it's really admirable, and I'm glad you said it here on this show, because if there's anybody younger coming up, I want them to be able to see that it can be done, you know, that standing by your principles and standing by your morals, you know, we can win. Sometimes we can be very successful, even though the shiny stuff looks like it's going to be so great in the short term, like you might get a better payoff. And but we really do compromise a lot of ourselves when sometimes, you know, I know people got to eat, you know, I'm not throwing judgment out there, you know, pickings can be slim sometimes, you know, but it's really heartening to hear you say that and to know that you're making intentional choices, you know.
So Ashley, is this tying into you said you were also doing writing, and that you were doing you're writing for TV. Is it, you know, write yourself something nice and juicy?
Well, of course. Like, I think that's how I actually started writing. Excuse me, I booked a pilot. And at one point they like recast the people of color in the show. And I was like, it was like my first taste of like Hollywood biting me in a negative way. And so I've always had like these stories in my head, but I just never put the pen to paper, if you will. And that's really what started it. And obviously I'm writing for myself, but I also want to write for my friends, you know, and like people, that are like in the hustle with me, you know, coming up. And that's my writing. Yeah.
But do you have like a certain genre that you like to write?
I think the common denominator is comedy. I've written a couple screenplays, but I'm working on a series right now. Working on like the behind the scene, like treatment, show Bible things. But both like the common denominator for everything is comedy. And people in my life tell me I'm hilarious. So hopefully, you know, other people will think that I'm funny too, but we'll see.
Oh, I can't wait to see something coming out of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Girl trip. No.
I thought you were going to say sci-fi, and I don't know why. You're gonna say sci-fi, but I know that you like that you were a writer also, and I was kind of wondering, did you ever think, because I know you grew up with Star Trek, did you ever think that there was a story that was missing in Star Trek that you wanted to cultivate, or a character that just didn't get their due that you wanted to write?
I think for myself, I was like, because I kind of grew up with like the Star Trek movies with like Chris Pine and like Zoe Saldana.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like growing up, I was like, I think Zoe Saldana needs like a younger sister or something. Okay. maybe something there. Who knows? But like, I remember growing up and watching those movies and being like, that'd be so cool to like to join in this universe.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Write it. Don't wait. Just write it. Put it out there.
Yvette will read it and tell everybody about it. She's our resident Star Trek novel reader and fan. Mm-hmm. So we'll put it on blast. We'll put anything you do on blast.
Definitely. Definitely.
We just love you. Ashley's in it? Okay. Sci-Fi Sisters got you back. I remember like seeing that you followed us. I remember when you followed us and I took a picture. I took a screenshot.
She
and I was
sure
like,
did.
Look who just followed. I was like, yes.
Yes.
Yay.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
I mean, the love is real. And I know, like, you see us, like, dancing around, so we're not going to ask you these direct questions that we want. But we're just going to say again, Paramount Plus, are you listening? Because we need Sydney LaForge back on the bridge.
You do.
Okay, we need every shot.
People in the back. Yes.
That's right. Little
it's something. It's something in the. It's something in the works. I do. I just. Yeah. I got this feeling. I just got. This
I mean,
feeling.
What do you think that we can do to help ensure that happens?
I mean, just keep making noise. I think that's the biggest thing. I've been seeing like the petition online has like exceeded, you know, the amount of signatures that I think the last show was A Strange New World, I believe. Number of signatures. So I feel like we're on the right track. We'll see what happens when this writer's strike is done, but I'm optimistic, but I'm hoping.
Yeah, I am too. We're going to keep making the noise, you know, because I think we're hungry for new Trek. As many people out there who are all like Strange New Worlds, and I love that show too. I mean, like, if it's Trek, I like it pretty much. I might not love it all, but I like it, like, and it's Trek, and it's my world, it's my universe, right? It's my happy place. But you know, but we're also dying for new characters, new stories and new perspectives, and there's just so much that we can do. I'm kind of tired of sitting in the old stuff, you know, we've been there, done that. And you guys were
decades,
you know, all of you guys were just so refreshing on the screen. You know, I mean, your castmates were incredible too. You know, that's one thing I love about this season of Picard is just the casting was so strong. Everybody had some massive chops and everybody got a chance to really show something of themselves. Yeah,
for sure. I think, you know, the way Terry Metalis and like the rest of the writers were able to like bring out this next generation of us. And even talking to Terry outside of this, I mean, he's not done. He has a vision for where this could go. And I think that's what's exciting, to know that, you know, he's not done. And what he's been able to already do with season three, I can't even imagine what he's going to be able to do with the spinoff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he did a phenomenal job.
Yes, he did.
I can't wait to see what else he's got up his sleeve, like, too, because I felt very comfortable with the show in his hands.
Yeah,
you know,
from the first credits and the panning of Beverly's ship. Mm-hmm. And those, the pearls, the music, and like, okay, wait a minute, that's from such and such. And we're rabbit fans. That's from such and such, and this happened here, and those who wore those pearls on the holodeck, and you know, okay. And then Beverly jumps up, and she's a badass.
But I think for Terry, because he's a fan, he grew up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he can tell that he is a true fan, and it's evident, you know, in what he was able to do.
Yeah, you could tell the whole production team and the writers are fans. We said this before, this new iteration of Trek has a lot of fans in control or, you know, creating. So it does, I think that's why it works.
Shows up on the screen.
Right. They show us what they want to see, and they're fans just like us, you know, and they want us to pick out those little things, you know, and want to see how many can you pick out, you know. It's like a competition. Oh, I know that one. I know that one. I know that one. Yeah. But I think it's refreshing to see young people come into this universe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we love you so much, is because we see Trek continuing.
Yeah.
And that's all we ever want, you know, because just like your mom, she played it in the house hoping that you would see it, played it in the house hoping that you would get it. I did the same thing happened to me with my mom. I didn't get it right away. It took a while, but I finally found my Trek. And I think that's what we all want. We want our families to understand what we're trying to tell them when we watch this show,
and
why we watch this show.
And you're doing it with your daughters too, right?
Yeah, I do. My daughters are finally come into the fold, but they had to find their own way in, you know. Yeah. And I think having younger people in that look like them, are close to their age, it brings them into it, and it keeps Trek going. And that's Trek going is a big deal, because Trek is very intelligent. It's very thought-provoking. It's about family. It's about character. It's about being a human. And you want to continue that. And I think seeing the same people that look like your parents all the time, is it going to get you involved into this universe? But we start seeing people that look like you, you know, Like, oh, wait, who's these? What's going on? You know, and it will bring them in. And I see it, you know, when we saw Picard, my kids were really watching it. You know, even my new soon to be son-in-law likes Picard. You know, he was not feeling Star Trek at all, but he really liked the last season. So,
ooh, look at her. Oh, and yeah. She's flying the ship.
Right. Right. That's all, you know, it's I think that's why I want to see it continue, not for the older characters, but mainly for all the new characters that we met. You know, I want when my kids are older, my age, you're the older character. And now there's new people coming in. So
after they'll call you back, they'll call you back with Sydney LaForge in about 35 years.
Right.
No joke.
Be there.
Well, you're part of the Trek family forever. I mean, yes. 20 years from now, we'll still be seeing you at the convention.
Yes.
Hi, Ashley. You know,
have you gotten involved with any of that? Any of the conventions or anything?
Not yet. No, not yet. I was trying to do Comic-Con in San Diego. There was another convention in the UK that I was getting ready to do. I'll post about it when it's official. But
okay, okay.
Cool. But I definitely do plan on attending cons.
Good.
Please do.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's everybody. The good thing about Trek. You got a job for the rest of your life.
No joke.
And the fans, I think they would embrace you, and I think they're waiting for
absolutely.
You. I know they are. They're waiting for you to come into the family and just be out there with us. So I can't wait.
And no one can prepare you for that either.
Right.
You know, people will tell you about it and it happens over and over again. Well, yeah, they told me, but I didn't know it would be like this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, like Sabrina said, wait till they start cosplaying you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's coming.
I'm ready to see it.
I know you do. I can't wait to see it.
I think that, like, we're just representative of the masses of Black women out there, young and old, who are dying to meet you and to welcome you and to wrap our arms around you and embrace you. You know, I mean, that's what we're here for. You give us a lot, you know, and we don't take it for granted. We love it, you know, and we appreciate what you do and how you do it. And so, like, when we go to these conventions, like, I mean, we were just at a convention this past weekend, and I can't tell you the number of Black women who came up to us saying, I can't believe you guys are here. Thank God for you. I thought I was alone, you know, I mean, And it means so much, because, you know, you don't know who's listening all the time, right? Like, you got people who were super active with us, but I mean, these were people that we didn't know, you know, who drove to the convention to see us because they saw that we were there, and because it means that much, so that, you know, just that we know that we're not alone, and that's what you're given for folks. So we're ready to give that love back to you. Trust and believe.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because it's difficult out there when you don't know, when you love a fandom and you want to talk about it, and there's no one to talk about it with. You have no friends that understand how much you love this thing. And then to find those people is like, my tribe.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So just know that you make a big difference. That 10 episodes, it might as well have been a whole series.
Yeah,
because it makes a difference. We don't see ourselves as humans when on television and screen. You know, we're not portrayed as humans. You know, we're always magical or something's wrong with us, not just regular people. You know, and to have you be just a regular person, got a job, be on a ship, got a parent that's driving you crazy. You know, a sister. Hey, yeah, right. Perfect. That's all we need.
This old captain, and you fly them out of a life and death situation. That was fierce too.
Mm, yeah.
When you piloted the ship out of the nebula.
Oh, we loved it.
Okay.
Loved it all.
Crash LaForge.
Forge wasn't crashing nothing.
She ain't crashing nothing.
That's Deanna. Deanna's the one that crashed up the ship. That's who Will should have been talking about, his wife.
Right. You got him out of it. You
come back.
Right.
Yeah. You got him out of that situation. I'm like, oh. Like the lady that got him out of the Dyson sphere. She turned the ship to the side. It was a sister. She turned the ship to the side and got out of there.
Was that Insurrector? Yeah.
That was
Insurrector,
right? Yeah. But you have to add, so we had this, we did this panel at a convention called The Sisters Who Saved the Ship. But it was really the shit, but we crossed out the T and put the P on it. And, you know, and now we got to add you to that.
Yes.
To that list. Mm-hmm.
You saved all of them.
Thank you.
With Picard back there barking orders as only he can.
Yes, Captain.
Admiral.
Okay.
So, before, I know your time is brief and you've been really generous with it, with us, but I want to know, like, is there something that you're working on now that, like, can you spill any beans on what might be coming up? I mean, I know we're about to probably go into a strike, but do you have something, anything mm-hmm. coming out?
Yeah, right now in select theaters, I was in a movie called Our Deadly Vows. It's kind of a horror thriller movie. I think that's still running. But yeah, I mean, still waiting to see. I'm still on pins and needles about our potential spinoff. Yeah, and that's really what's going on at the moment. And then just gearing up, like today was like Emmy nomination, so
yeah.
Emmy nomination
for our
prosthetic department.
That was awesome. Yes. So awesome.
Kudos to them. I mean, they really deserved it. I didn't realize how long like the prosthetics take. I was, because for like the Borg makeup, I was here for like over an hour. Wow. And that was just like, I didn't really have like actual prosthetics. I just had like a couple tattoos and things like that. So I, well deserved. I mean, this whole sci-fi universe, this is my first sci-fi project, and I'm just realizing how much work goes into this, and it's amazing.
Sure
is.
That's cool. You got the whole round, and you have these, and Borg you. They did everything to you,
right?
Changeling Borg. I mean, there's something happened to Sydney.
That's right.
Okay. No.
Yes. Sydney shouldn't be fazed by anything going forward. I'm saying
nothing at all.
You've already been assimilated. You know, God, come on.
Yeah. Yep. Fit. Was kicking ass.
I mean, it's gonna have to be something really serious to see Sydney scared next time.
That's it.
Not really.
Well, sis, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for your time. Thank you for Sydney.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for Sydney.
Yvette, can you tell folks where to reach us if they have comments about Sydney or anything else for Ashley?
You can find us at scifisisters.com. That's SYFYSISTAS.com. Join us on the Mothership. That's MUTHASHIP. And the Sci-Fi Sisters Book Club, both on Facebook. On Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, sci-fi.sisters. We are also on the Twitter at Sci-Fi Sisters. Become a patron of Sci-Fi Sisters today at patreon.com/sci-fi sisters. The Trek Geeks Network's presenting sponsor is Fansets. Go to fansets.com for pins and memorabilia from all your favorite franchises. Visit fansets.com and use Trek Geeks, all caps, for your exclusive 10% discount. After listening to this podcast, please rate us and write a review. We may just read it on an upcoming episode.
And of course, I'd be remiss if I did not shout out the baddest engineer in any and all universes. He's responsible for the music you hear on our show, as well as our engineering production services. He is Dose, the anonymous one. And if you are in
need, Dose.
He loves that.
He does. And I did not allow time for his theme song. So my bad, Dose. If you need his services, look him up on Instagram at Dose_the_anonymous_1. Thanks, everybody. We love you very much. Thank you again, Ashley. We love you very much.
Yes.
Peace, love, and hair grease.